Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This was way back last year when Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were running for office.
I'm going to immediately, without exception, close down every one of those cages and camps where they have, because guess what? People were still showing up before. They don't have to be put in cages or separated from their mothers.
Comprehensive immigration reform with a pathway towards citizenship. But on first day one, get those babies out of those cages.
We're not going to lock any families. We're not going to separate families. We're not going to put any kids in cages.
They have had a policy of having babies in cages and separating children from their parents in the name of border security, when in fact what it is a human rights abuse being committed by the United States government.
I don't believe we're a nation that puts kids in cages and thinks it's okay.
But that was like, so 2019. Yeah, 2020. Trump, of course, did that, as you know, because he's a racist xenophobe and a bigot. And they'd never put kids in cages. Well, not only have they put kids in cages, they've put them in cages with COVID and no separation of positive kids from negative kids. And they're being sexually abused. And those cages are hundreds of percentage points over legal capacity. But nobody cares because they're Democrats and even fire code, which endangers the lives of these kids, doesn't apply to them, apparently. So in an act of absolute desperation, Texas Governor Greg Abbott went and stood in front of one of those facilities. The state has now received not one, not two, but three reports of sexual abuse in the facility behind Governor Abbott, as he says this.
Children at this facility are being sexually assaulted. Second, there are not enough staff to safely supervise the children at this facility. Third, some children in this facility are not eating throughout the day. And fourth, children with COVID are not being physically separated from children without COVID. In short, this facility is a health and safety nightmare. The Biden administration is now presiding over the abuse of children. To end this abuse, the Biden administration must immediately shut down this facility. The children who are in this facility should be moved to other federally run facilities where the federal government has the space, personnel, and resources to ensure their safety. While we wait on the Biden administration to act, I'm directing the Texas Department of Public Safety and the Texas Rangers to immediately begin investigating these allegations.
Yeah, and so tell us, Governor, what is causing this specifically?
These problems are a byproduct of President Biden's open border policies and the lack of planning for the fallout from those disastrous policies.
I see. This was actually stunning yesterday. Nancy Pelosi standing there. It's like 1984. We've caught not one, but two terrorists on our border. Just a recap. Because when you put it all together, it is so stunning. The first 9 days after Joe Biden reversed all of Trump's, you know, border rules that were keeping these people out of our country. And so the first human terrorist comes through. Democrat leadership, Biden administration surely knew this. They would have been updated on this, the president's daily briefing. And guess what? You know what they said? They took a look at it and went, we're not letting enough in. So then they did a stunning thing, a thing we've never seen before. They announced on a Sunday, 3 weeks ago now, that they were just going to suspend background checks, release people into the country. Didn't have time to do the background checks. Takes too long. So they just let them go when they get them. And they announced this. This is like a cattle call to the world's terrorists. Why you would announce this, I don't know. Unless you just don't care about human life and you want to increase the flow because what you are in fact running is a voter drive. So they did that and boom, we get the second Yemeni terrorist. Again, I'm sure there are many more from many other nations. These guys aren't just people we're calling terrorists. They're on the FBI's watch list and the no-fly list. Kind of dangerous. Nobody cares. Meanwhile, we watch children chucked over a 14-foot wall, 3 and 5 years old, abandoned in the desert. 6 people last week died from drowning in the Rio Grande, including 2 minors. And on top of all of that, we're now being treated to video of a 10-year-old who spent the night alone in the desert, who's been abandoned by his cartel and trafficker. He's in tears. 2 other kids, 5 and 4, show up on the San Diego border. They've been abandoned and dumped in the desert. And on that very day, after all of this, Democrat majority leader, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, has the gall and audacity to say this.
The fact is that we're on a good path at the border under leadership of President Biden. It's about 3 things. It's about restructuring how we do what is happening there, because we were in a very bad situation under the Trump administration. It's about a refugee plan.
Okay, this is a total lie, but pretty much everything that comes out of her mouth, she doesn't care. By the way, do you know why it was we stopped doing the background checks? Do you know why it was? Because we were only allowing 60% into the interior. We were only able to get 60% into the interior in February of the illegals who showed up. And so once they suspended the background checks, they were able to go all the way up to 87%. So now what they do is they hand you a Social Security document that's good for 1 year so you can compete directly against Americans for jobs. You know, the 10 million still unemployed for COVID, many of whom are working class Black and Hispanic themselves. Yes, you can compete directly against them and reduce their wages. It's a cool feature of the Biden administration. And then they just let you go. So if you're a Yemeni terrorist, I mean, you know, welcome to McDonald's. Can we take your order? You're going to need to work somewhere until you blow the stuff up, right? I mean, until you kill the people. Get 2 dozen of them in a plane together. Oh, my gosh. Remember 9/11? It's going to be great. No, it's going to be fast. Yeah, no, not my opinion. Nancy just told you. She said, it's great. It's wonderful. Everything's good. It's all good. Nothing to see here. No hypocrisy whatsoever from the people screaming about kids in cages. And I'm here to tell you, folks, this is just the beginning. You know, do you know what their plan is? You know what their plan is? If they wait long enough, this will just disappear from the news, even as the numbers swell. Something else will take the media's attention away. They're like a cat in front of one of those. You ever have one of those machines for the cat and it dangles a little feather and they bounce around? Yeah, the media's like that. And so eventually people just get tired of the story and they'll start ignoring it. They have no intention of stopping. We now again have the CEO of Gallup, I can't say this enough times, in a blog post warned, hey, we've done polling on this 42 million people, you know, in Mexico, Central America, South America, Haiti. 42 million people intend to come here. We've polled it. And he wrote it and he said, listen to Biden, do you have a plan? Well, that is the plan for 42 million people to come here. That's the plan. There is no other plan. And if they get sexually abused, killed, die in the desert, that's okay. And Joe Biden explained this. Back in 2015, this has always been his plan. I played this audio for you during the campaign. I tried to tell anybody who'd listen.
And the wave still continues. It's not going to stop. Nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
So he needs an unrelenting stream of, and he forgot a word in there, illegal. See, illegal immigration, like where he breaks the law. And then last year he said this on the campaign trail.
We could afford to take in a heartbeat another 2 million people. The idea that a country of 330 million people cannot absorb people who are in desperate need and who are justifiably fleeing oppression.
Yeah, desperately need. They're paying $7,000 to $10,000 a pop. They're fat. They have cell phones. They just want to welfare. That's what they want. They want to welfare, and they want the work permit. They want to send the money home. By the way, those 2 million, according to CNN, will arrive by September. So he's well on his way to the 42 million. The floodgates, you haven't seen anything yet. That's what they're telling you when she won't go to the border. We don't care. What you going to do about it? They are laughing. In Kamala's case, like a hyena. God, that laugh is jarring. Yeah, they think this is funny. But thankfully, there are a group of people who could stop them. The governors of the border states, they can do immigration enforcement anytime they want to start. It's constitutional.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, so the Derek Chauvin trial continues. Got a question for you, just out of curiosity. If somebody who weighed exactly what Sergeant Derek Chauvin weighed were to kneel on your knee, was to kneel using his knee, excuse me, on your neck for the full 9 minutes, exactly what happened to George Floyd, what would become of you? It's an interesting question. Does that kill you? I actually know the answer to that question, as I always do before I ask them rhetorically on the show. I actually know the answer to that question. And we know the answer to that question because, and the jury won't be told this, in the Derek Chauvin trial for the alleged murder of George Floyd, we actually know what would happen. Because the Minneapolis Police Department did it 237 times in the 5 years before it was done to George Floyd. And what is that? Nothing. They did knock 44 people unconscious, but then that is the purpose of the unconscious neck hold, to knock folks unconscious, particularly those having drug overdoses. But I mean, like, did anybody die? No. That's why they kept using it. Okay. How long are you supposed to keep the knee on the neck? Again, how long is it until they're unconscious? That's why it's called the unconscious neck hold. In the manual. The training manual? Okay. So just to demonstrate, like, what? Okay, but the officer left his knee on for a long time. Okay. What would happen to you if someone did that to you? Someone who weighed exactly what Chauvin weighed. Well, Steven Crowder, who does the Louder with Crowder podcast, wanted to find out. So he subjected himself to it for 9 minutes on the concrete. And the exact conditions that George Floyd underwent it. With his hands handcuffed behind his back. He wanted to know what it was like to be George Floyd. So you're probably wondering at this point, is Steven Crowder still alive? Oh yeah, he's fine. Someone did that to his neck for 9 minutes? Uh-huh. On video. Was it pleasant? No. You wouldn't want to go through it. But he's not dead. No. Injured? Mm-mm. Was he able to talk throughout the whole episode? Uh-huh. You mean he could breathe? Well, yeah. They wouldn't have done it 237 times if you couldn't breathe. If it killed you. Wait, you can kneel on someone's neck for 9 minutes and they don't die? Uh-huh. That's why they kept doing it. Well, somebody needs to get this information to somebody, like the jury. If I were the defense attorney in this case and the judge let me do it, I'd let somebody do it to me in the courtroom. That crowd was fine. So you're telling me you can kneel on somebody's neck for 9 minutes and they turn out? Yeah, they do. They turn out okay. Maybe that's why Sergeant Chauvin thought he could do it. I'm just guessing. Maybe that's why a public defender who was quoted in the Minneapolis local newspaper explained, we see officers in video doing this all the time. Well, I imagine they do. They did it 237 times the previous 5 years. How many died again? How many was that? That was none. Okay, none. And you could do this for a full 9 minutes. No injury and no brain damage? Yeah, crowd was fine. He's recorded other episodes since then. Wow. Wish America could see this. Anyway, if you want to see it, I have it up on my Facebook page. Who knew you could kneel on someone's neck for 9 minutes? And it does immobilize them. They can't move. But they can absolutely breathe and talk and everything. Wonder how many people inside the Minneapolis PD knew this the whole time. Just wondering. You guys just laugh. At this point, if you care at all about science, which Anthony Fauci most certainly doesn't, you got to ask yourself, if you shut down, will my COVID cases go up? It's a serious question. Now, we don't have any studies showing that, but we do have stats that show it. Right now in the country, the highest death rates and highest new case rates, the top 6 states for those are all blue, heavy lockdown states right now. That's weird. No, that's science, which we ignore. Well, who right now has been identified as the top hotspot of the coronavirus? That would be New York, which is embracing coronavirus-related restrictions. Not Florida or Texas, like the media told it would be, but then told us they would be. But then what if they ever been right? That's right. New York has been recognized as a top hotspot of the Chinese coronavirus in recent days, reporting roughly 53,000 new cases last week and even topping Michigan, which until it was dethroned was the top spot. Michigan, that's interesting. You know why? They also are a heavy lockdown state. Tell us again, what states did the media tell us? What were the Neanderthal states, Texas and Florida? And they were opening back up a month ago, right? Everybody was going to die. Sad. Because the case count went down. There must be some science here. Be interesting to see if, you know, somebody wants to figure it out, but they don't. Here's the interesting part of this. You got New York and Michigan right now leading the death toll. 3 other blue states round out the top 5, including Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, all heavy lockdown states. That's weird. Pretty much the opposite of what the media told us. But then if you follow actual science, you're not surprised. Because way, 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 way back in January on the 14th, Newsweek let the world know that there was a new study out of Denmark showing that lockdowns don't work. In other words, we ruined thousands of businesses, thousands of lives for no good reason. But everybody ignored that study. Because it doesn't give Democrat politicians any power. So it doesn't count. That's real science. So I thought I'd update you on the actual case totals and death totals, not the fake news. I wonder how long this has to go on before we're allowed to stop pretending that lockdowns work. Because they don't work. Neither does what Biden's doing on the border, as Senator Lindsey Graham pointed out.
They're calling all of us racist because we won't give in to this power grab.
I was wrong audio. I like that one, though. I was going to play I have the wrong one up here. I was going to play the one where he says we should just, you know, put a halt to what's going on the border. They have no intention of that. They have no intention of that because it's working for them. Every day that goes by, every single day that goes by, thousands more voters pour into the country. This is not an immigration crisis. It's an electoral coup. Never forget the numbers from the Washington Post. across the swing states, control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency was decided by 90,000 votes. They know that. That's why the border's wide open. Because the people coming across it vote Democrat historically at an 80% rate. This is an epic rant for Representative Tom McClintock. He went down to the border. It is the most accurate description I've heard to date on Fox News about what is actually going on down there. The numbers are staggering. So is the growth.
We're way beyond any discussion over whether this is a border crisis. The question now is whether we have a border at all, and the answer is we don't. We watched hundreds and hundreds of illegal aliens simply illegally crossing the border, coming up to the Border Patrol. Those who are claiming to be under 18 are automatically admitted. They're taken to CBP facilities, then to HHS, and HHS then gives them a ticket anywhere they want to go in the country. We're seeing with families with children under 7, basically the same thing. They take your basic biometric information and wave them on. And the numbers that we are seeing are absolutely staggering. The week of the election last year, there were only 100 family units that illegally crossed the border. By inauguration day, that number had increased to 1,100. Last week, it was 15,000. Wow. That'll give you some idea of the order of magnitude. The Border Patrol had 100,000 encounters with illegal aliens in February. It was 170,000 in March. 170,000 is the population of Salem, Oregon. That's in a single month. And those numbers don't include the estimated 130,000 gotaways, the folks that evaded the Border Patrol, who are smuggling drugs, doing human trafficking. And the Border Patrol tells me that is a very low number, 130,000.
And yesterday during your live press conference, you said that number, 130,000, equals the entire population of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. When you put it like that, it really puts it into perspective to see the number that we are talking about. It's incredible.
This is a mass migration of historic proportions, and I don't know of any civilization in history that has survived that.
The purpose of this migration, they already have enough, if they amnesty the current population, to, you know, control the presidency for life. The purpose of this mass migration is to get tens of millions more here so that there is not a red state left. Only blue and maybe purple. The prosecutors in the George Floyd case, the prosecution of Sergeant Derek Chauvin, have now asked the jury to disregard the autopsy finding and the role of drugs in the body of George Floyd. Yes, because that's what killed him. Prosecutors are asking the jury to dismiss the findings of the only official autopsy in the case, which found he died of asphyxia. No, I'm just kidding. No, it found he died of a heart attack, which is consistent with the fentanyl overdose he was having and the 3 times the fatal limit that was in his system, which is consistent with the findings of Hennepin County Chief Medical Examiner Dr. Andrew Baker, who pointed to cardiac arrest as Floyd's cause of death, and who said if he'd been found in his home, he would have ruled it an overdose. If this man is convicted, this is going to be an unbelievable travesty of justice. Unbelievable. Again, it blew my mind yesterday watching this. Stephen Crowder with Louder Than Crowder. This is up on my Facebook page. Recreated the event. Well, except the fentanyl and meth in his system. He did not put 3 times the fatal limit of fentanyl in his system before doing this. But he recreated the rest of it. And had a guy who weighed 191 pounds. They put weights on him. Put his knee on his neck for 9 minutes just to see what would happen. You can watch that on my Facebook page. Fascinating. Crowder, by the way, just I should note, is still alive. He's doing fine. He's not even injured. Just like George Floyd. George Floyd had no injuries. No injuries to his neck. Didn't die of asphyxia and didn't have any signs of it. Because that's not how he died. Crowder, by the way, is still alive. And again, no injuries, no need for hospitalization. What was kind of interesting was that the whole time that the guy had his knee on his neck, duplicate, by the way, he was also on the concrete and had his hands handcuffed behind his back. Crowder did. He was able to talk. That's because he was able to breathe, just like George Floyd, who did not die of asphyxia. But the whole world is pretending he did. Like I said earlier in the show, if I were the attorney, I would duplicate this on the floor of the courtroom if the judge would let me. I would, just to demonstrate it doesn't kill you. But as I said earlier in the show, but then we knew that. It didn't kill any of the 237 people the Minneapolis PD did it on. That is the unconscious chokehold, not the conscious chokehold. Neck hold, I should say, not chokehold. It's the official word for it in the manual. 237 people, they did it to over 5 years. Not one of them died. 44 of them were knocked out, but then that is the goal, to put your knee on the neck until they are knocked out. So unbelievable of the prosecution to do this. I don't know how you sleep at night if you do a thing like that as a prosecutor. Disregard the role of drugs? You mean the three times the fatal limit, that role of drugs from the autopsy and toxicology report? Okay, cool. Do you know what's going on here, folks? Let me remind you of the timeline here. Things were burning. $500 million worth of damage in Minneapolis. And the demand in the early days was that Chauvin be tried, would be charged with murder, right? Because it was totally racist if he wasn't. So they rushed it. And the coroner declared it a homicide before he got the toxicology report back. The toxicology report wouldn't come back for 3 more days. When it did, they had an emergency meeting because of the 3 times the fatal limit of fentanyl that it showed, plus the meth, the foaming at the mouth, you know, the lungs that weighed twice what they should have because of all the fluid in the lungs, which had nothing to do with the hold. It's a classic symptom of fentanyl overdose. And they panicked. They panicked over the toxicology report. Rather than do what honest people would do, which is have a press conference to let everyone know that he had died, they were already dug deep in the hole. They'd already said, including the medical examiner, that it had been a homicide. So what did they do? They held it. They held the toxicology report. They didn't release it for months until August. They watched city after city burn, business owner after business owner's businesses and property destroyed, knowing the whole time they had the toxicology report. Now they can't back down. It's kind of like if you tell a little lie, you got to keep telling ever larger cascading lies. That's kind of what's going on in Minneapolis right now. And I will be shocked if Chauvin isn't convicted.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.